Thank you, Marika, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the results call of 2022. As usual, I'm joined by Václav Pelíček, the Group Finance Director of EP Infrastructure. We have gone through 2022, a year I don't think any of us have seen before and unlikely to witness again. Firstly, we've witnessed and continue to witness one of the biggest geopolitical crises of the 21st century. Secondly, we have also endured probably the biggest energy crisis and biggest disruption to the energy markets we've ever seen in Europe. In this context, and as I have on many occasions before, I describe each year with one particular word. 2019 was extraordinary, 2020 was exceptional, 2021 was predictable, and 2022 I will simply describe as a strong year. If we move to page five, we have our usual executive summary. The first four summaries have remained core to our business, going forward and in the past. Firstly, we are a leading Central European group operating traditional energy infrastructure assets. We have four core divisions: transmission, distribution, storage, and district heating. We are located predominantly in Slovakia, Czech Republic, and in Germany, and we wish to operate regulated and/or long-term contracted assets, which have a critical feature of converting a sustainably high part of their operating results into free cash flow. We now move to the key numbers of 2022. We're very proud to confirm that our consolidated revenues for 2022 increased to just over 4 billion euros from 2.8 billion euros in 2021. Our adjusted EBITDA for 2022 was 1.455 billion euros, which is up from 1.278 billion euros in 2021, an increase of 14% year-on-year. Our proportionate adjusted EBITDA rose to 875 million euros from 686 million euros in financial year 2021. Our proportionate net leverage ratio fell from 4.26 at the end of 2021 to 2.9 at the end of 2022. Our adjusted free cash flow for the last financial year was 750 million euros, down from 785 million euros in 2021. Our group cash conversion ratio was at 52% for the financial year, a drop from 61% in the financial year 2021. Václav will take you through some of the key reasons for that. Despite, therefore, significant geopolitical frictions and significant disruptions to the energy market, we're delighted to produce and to present you strong financial results for 2022. In particular, gas storage played a significant role in offsetting the results of our gas transmission business, which we will go through in greater detail on the following pages. The strong results clearly underpin the diversified nature of EPIF. If we move to page six, we look at the key company highlights. These haven't really changed. Our infrastructure is in critical leading positions in the markets in which we operate. They are strategic and vital for our region. Our key subsidiaries are co-owned by the Slovak state. The majority of our EBITDA is either fully regulated or long-term contracted. We continue to have a diversified portfolio across gas transmission, gas and power distribution, gas storage, and heat infra or district heating. We have a high cash conversion due to a low CapEx intensity. We have strong profitability demonstrated this year again, and we have a well-invested modern asset base. We continue to be committed to maintain and reestablish our investment grade credit ratings, and we continue to have best-in-class ESG achievements and robust ESG commitments. If we now move to page eight, we have the group overview. Four core divisions, EPIF continues to be owned 69% by EPH, a leading power generating business in Europe, and 31% by a consortium led by Macquarie's. The four divisions, division number one, gas and power distribution, we are the monopoly gas distribution business in Slovakia, and we own one of three electricity distribution businesses in Slovakia, co-owned by the Slovak state. We also operate significant gas storages. We have around 23% all gas storages in Slovakia, Austria, and Czech Republic combined. And we also have around 8 to 9% of the German storage market. Division number three is gas transmission. We continue to be one of only two major routes of Russian gas that comes into Europe via our Ustream subsidiary, again owned, part-owned by the Slovak government. And our fourth division is heat infra or district heating, where we have a leading position in the Czech Republic. On the right side of page 8, you can see this re-emphasized, but I'll just stick to the core numbers and come back to my descriptions of the years. So if we look at the adjusted EBITDA, you can see that I described 2019 as extraordinary, 2020 as exceptional, 2021 as predictable, and 2022 an adjusted EBITDA of 1.455 billion euros as a strong result for EPIF. The other key positions I want you to outline to you is clearly our proportionate net debt at the end of 2022, so at 2.534 billion euros, and a proportionate leverage ratio of 2.9 times. If we put page 9, we can see a breakdown of those divisions in particular. Gas transmission, here our EBITDA fell from 479 million euros to 324 million euros. The gas that we actually transited dropped from 41.6 billion cubic meters to 26.3 billion cubic meters. Clearly, our business is long-term contracted on a ship or pay basis, but as the volumes decrease, we make less money on our gas in kind, and we also had a hedge book that many of you are aware of, which had to be unwound during the course of the year. The gas and power distribution managed to increase its EBITDA from 522 million euros to 556 million euros, a strong performance underpinned by an extraordinary performance from our small supply business, which is included in this division. In the actual amounts of energy distributed, we can see that the power distribution moved from 6.4 terawatt hours to 6.3 terawatt hours. So in our markets, we did not see significant demand destruction in electricity. But in gas, we saw distribution go from 59.2 terawatt hours to 48.3, which shows there are some demand destructions now clearly visible in the market. However, the majority of our regulated income is not volume related that enabled us to produce such a strong result in gas and power distribution. Gas storage was clearly the star performer of the year. As a result of the Russian gas crisis, there was significant pressure throughout Europe to have storages full. We managed to achieve this, but clearly to the extent where our capacity is not long-term contracted, we were able to take advantage of short-term movements in the market for storage rates, particularly towards the end of 2022 when storages throughout Europe were full. Heat infra, or the distribution of hot water to our customers, also had an exceptional year, with EBITDA rising from 104 million to 198 million. The underlying business, the distribution of heat, actually fell from 8.4 to 7.4 joules. This was a result of warm weather, but clearly the ancillary product of district heating is electricity, and we were able to take advantage of highly elevated prices in the electricity market during the course of 2022. The diversified nature of the group therefore enabled us to produce a result of 1.455 billion euros EBITDA. If we move to page 10, here again we give you a bridge analysis of the year, starting with the adjusted EBITDA of 2021, the drop in gas transmission of 155 million euros, predominantly due to the fall in volumes and related gas in kind revenues. We saw an increased performance from gas and power distribution, which predominantly came from our supply business of 34 million euros. Gas storage clearly was able to compensate for the drop in gas transmission, which rose by 200 million euros, and heat infra, which through its elevated electricity prices managed to contribute an additional 94 million euros, which gives us the year-end adjusted EBITDA of 1.455 billion euros. If we move to page 11, we give you some updates on market regulation and legislation. Following the military invasion of Ukraine by the Russian Federation and the subsequent imposed sanctions against the Russian Federation, almost all direct flows of Russian pipe gas to Europe have been terminated. As a result, the overall volume of gas supplied from the Russian Federation to the EU and UK in 2022 decreased by 55% to approximately 67 billion cubic meters. Volumes transmitted through the pipeline operated by Ustream have also been affected, and they're also now down around 37% year on year. With regards to these developments and the continuing military invasion of Ukraine, it is uncertain whether any further reductions or interruptions in the supply of natural gas from the Russian Federation to Europe will occur. If we look at regulation, legislation and taxation, on the gas and power distribution regulation, details have been released of regulatory parameters for the new regulatory period 2023 to 2027. These have confirmed the continuation of transparent and stable regulatory framework, which continues to provide a reasonable predictability of cash flows over that period. Also, the regulator has specified certain mechanisms which protect the DSOs from volume risks, and Vasek will go through further details on page 28. Energy crisis emergency interventions. These have been many across Europe and by the European Union. They include price caps on power producers, windfall tax, solidarity contributions. We can confirm that there has been no material adverse impact on the group as a result of these interventions. And finally, taxation in Slovakia. During 2022 and 2023, there have been certain taxation proposals. We can confirm that there's been no material adverse impact to the group. The main tax was perhaps, or the headline tax was the pipeline tax, which would have been applied to Ustream. But the law was ultimately voted down by the National Council, which is the final and definite stage of the legislative process. If we move to page 12 for our ESG pillars, we're delighted that our Standard & Poor's ESG rating has been upgraded with a rating of 63 out of 100, and we're delighted to have achieved a new rating from Sustainalytics of 18.2, which continues to put the group in a low-risk position. We continue to announce short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals, and we believe that within the next few months, EPIF will be able to upgrade its commitments with regards to its environmental framework. And we continue to establish our green finance framework, which will position us for potential refinancing through a labelled instrument in the future. If we move to the finances, then we move to page 15, and I'm pleased to pass over to the Group Finance Director, Vaslav, please.
Thank you, Gary. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for taking time today to listen us in such a still dynamic market environment. As Gary said, I'm going to take you through our financial results with focus on capital structure and our liquidity. Before that, let me flag that the figures that are presented in the presentation have been derived from 2022 full year audited consolidated IFRS accounts that are available on our website in the investor sections, together with a press release, the presentation, and following to this call, we will make available a recording of the call. So let's start with a look at our balance sheet on slide number 15. Similarly to other infrastructure assets, EPF Group is asset heavy, with more than three quarters of its assets represented by property, plant and equipment. And out of 10 billion PPE, more than 7 billion is represented by gas pipelines owned and operated by Eustream and SPP Distribucia. Those pipelines are held at their fair values under IFRS fair value model. And I can confirm that during a year-end close procedure, we performed standard impairment testing. We tested various scenarios. We tested the potential impact of the Russian invasion to Ukraine on our assets, and we concluded that no impairment charge with respect to those key assets is needed. Second major item on our balance sheet is net debt. You can see that we managed to reduce our net debt to approximately 3 billion, which is 16% lower year on year. As for the gross debt, the balance somewhat increased. This was driven primarily by the fact that EPIF drew 400 million RCF in March, and we kept that facility fully drawn as of December. As of that date, we also kept the funds from the facility on our accounts, which was first reason for significant improvement in our cash balance. Besides the fact that we are strongly cash generative business, we didn't distribute any dividends in 2022. In fact, we haven't distributed anything since May 2021. And I'm glad that our shareholders are supportive to our business, and they committed not to distribute dividends up until the uncertainties around our group subside. Speaking of cash position, I need to mention one specific quasi-cash item, which is margining receivable of 311 million reported under receivables and other assets. And clearly it relates to our power hedges. We have two types of power hedges, power purchase for our supply portfolio and power sale contracts for our heat infra business. Every day we calculate fair value of the netto position and compare the balance against what has been deposited to the commodity exchange. If there is a difference, then the balance is deposited to or received from the commodity exchange. Clearly, throughout the year, we had elevated margining needs. We disclosed that as of September 2022, we had 874 million deposited to the commodity exchange. And since then, the balance significantly dropped due to price and due to volume. So as for the price, the power prices on the market peaked in August, and since then declined significantly. And I can admit that over November, December, the prices declined even faster than I expected. As for the volume, we have a lower volume of power sale contracts through the commodity exchange, therefore subject to margining. In particular, as of June 2022, we had 3.6 terawatt hours sold, while as of March 2023, we currently have 1.8 terawatt hours of power sold through the commodity exchange. So this represents significant de-risking of the group from margining perspective. Speaking of our commodity derivatives, let's have a look at our hedging instruments. For risk management purposes, we are using financial derivatives in order to hedge FX, interest rate, and commodity price risk. And let's see how fair value of those instruments is reflected on our balance sheet. FX instruments have fairly negligible fair value as we are predominantly euro currency group. So let's have a look at interest rate risks, which is managed through interest rate swaps. And in 2022, we benefited from increase of market rates. Therefore, we are reporting significant accounting non-cash gain on revaluation of interest rate swaps. As for the commodity instruments, we have three types of transactions. Two relates to power, to purchase power for supply business, sell power for heat infra, and we have also contracts to sell gas for our gas transit business. To be more specific, how the fair value is reflected on the balance sheet, you can see as of December, we have 227 of financial instrument assets, which comprise of positive value of interest rate swaps and power purchase contract for our supply portfolio. On the other hand, we have financial instruments liabilities of 621 million, and this is mainly represented by power sell contracts for heat infra and gas sell contracts for gas transit. Further detail with respect to our derivatives is disclosed in financial statements, note 27, where you can also find split into short and long-term part, and you will actually see that a major portion of the fair value is short-term, therefore is maturing this year. With that, we can move on to our P&L account. As Gary said, despite all the uncertainties, volatilities on the market, we are delivering really strong set of results, which is visible on 14% increase of adjusted EBITDA and 11% increase of EBIT. Gary already described the reasons on slide number 10. So let's focus on further items. You can see net finance result is positive in 2022. On one hand, we have 90 million of interest rate of interest expense relating to our bonds. We have 7 bonds issued across our group. On the other hand, I already mentioned we had a significant accounting gain on revaluation of interest rate swaps that more than offset the interest expense. As for the tax expense of 253 million, it implies effective tax rate of approximately 26%, which is broadly in line with taxation in Slovakia, where we have 21% corporate income tax rate plus 4.3% special levy that is applicable to regulated businesses. And let me confirm that that tax has been in place for past 10 years. So no surprises in our taxation. Profit after tax of 701 million plus 16% year on year. So in 2022, we managed to deliver really strong set of results on the back of which we managed to significantly boost our cash position in order to be able to address our upcoming maturities that I will be describing later. Now let's move on to slide 17, describing our financial strategy. As always, we would like to maintain a significant portion of our debt exposure in bonds and similar instruments. Currently, we have 84% of debt exposure in bonds. Secondly, we would like to maintain approximately 3/4 of our proportionate gross debt at the holding level, which we believe is our sweet spot from pricing perspective. And currently, we have 75% at the holding level. Thirdly, we like to increase average tenor of our instruments while optimizing tenor, while optimizing interest expense. And this is something we have delivered through past refinancing. And finally, and this is rather a new item, which is based on our underlying principle as being the investment-grade entity. So in October, we announced the new leverage target of 3.5x net debt to EBITDA on proportionate terms, up until all the uncertainties around our group will subside. You note that this new target is significantly lower than the old target of 4.3x, and it represents significant de-risking of EPIF Group. So let's see how we actually performed against that target, which is indicated on slide number 18, where is calculation of leverage calculated on full consolidated basis and proportionate consolidated basis. Let me remind you that proportionate consolidation takes into account actual shareholding of EPIF in individual subsidiaries. So you can see net debt figure of approximately 3 billion from full consolidation, which translates into approximately 2.5 billion of proportionate net debt, and using full year adjusted EBITDA proportionate, we are arriving at 2.9 times leverage. The figure is well below the new target, and reasons for that are, firstly, we delivered really strong performance in 2022, and secondly, power prices declined, namely in November, December, faster than we expected, meaning that we received a portion of margining back to us earlier than we expected. Now let's focus on key events in area of financing presented on slide number 19. Majority of those events we already discussed in September when we reported H1 results. So as you know, EPF drew 400 million RCF in March. We kept that facility fully drawn as of year end, and this year in February and March we repaid 200 million, meaning that currently we have drawn 200 million and additional 200 million is fully available committed as a liquidity buffer. In past we talk about SSE Group that managed to obtain 150 million of bank facilities in July, out of which 100 was drawn as of year end 2022. And in January, SSE Group managed to secure additional 100 million in RCFs and overdrafts, which serves as additional liquidity buffer. Then we are listing major dividend flows across the group. And let me comment on the very last items, which is very new from last Friday, when SPPI shareholders declared dividend from SPPI Group, which is a distribution of extraordinary profits from the storage segment. So SPPI declared 300 million dividends to be payable within 90 days. And let me be very specific, EPIF as a shareholder agreed with the distribution on condition that the dividend is purely distribution of storage profits, will be funded from storage entities, namely Nafta, Pozagas and Nafta Speicher. And for avoidance of doubt, let me confirm that for purpose of this dividend payment, we will not touch funds at Eustream or SPPD, as we would like to give comfort to their management and support them to maintain their IG or re-establish their IG. Let's move on to slide number 20, showing our group structure, which might seem to be fairly complex. However, from cash flow perspective, it's pretty much flexible. Let me remind you that 75% of proportionate gross debt sits at the holding level, where we have relatively minor cash needs at the level of roughly 50 million euro per annum, which represents mainly interest expense relating to four bonds issued at EPIF, and then decent OPEX needs at EPIF level. And how those needs are financed, there are three main routes. Firstly, it's EP Energy Group, comprising majority of heat infra entities, then SSE Group, and EP Energy Trading. And amongst a majority of EP Energy companies, there is a cash pooling agreement in place. And before year end 2022, we managed also incorporate EPIF into that cash pooling so that we can make sure that there is no trapped cash in the structure. Second stream is through SPPI, which is a vehicle where we aggregate our gas assets. And as we discussed, we are going to distribute 300 million dividends from SPPI, out of which 49% will be distributed through the chain you can see to EPIF. And thirdly, EPIF has a direct shareholding in NAFTA, so if there is a dividend distribution from NAFTA, a portion goes to SPPI, while 40% goes directly to EPIF, which is also helpful to manage our cash flows. So let me summarize this section on slide 21. As a result of past refinancing, you can see that we have optimized interest expense. We have a favorable debt maturity profile. On the back of strong results in 2022, we managed to boost our cash balance to more than 1.5 billion of cash, plus we have 0.4 billion of committed undrawn facilities. Plus we have 311 million of margining deposits as of December that should return to EPIF throughout 2023. So let's see what we are facing in upcoming years. It's the 750 million maturity at EPIF, and given what I said, I can declare that we will address the maturity in a way that we would increase average duration of our instruments. We will keep majority of our debt exposure in bonds, and at the same time we will manage to maintain the leverage target. And as a last note, let me remind that in June we made a statement that EPIF might conduct bond buyback on the secondary market. While we haven't executed any buybacks, this statement still holds true. So should we feel that the buyback would be economically feasible, attractive to shareholders, and we would have spare cash, then we might conduct a buyback on the secondary market. And with that message, let me hand over to Gary to start with business segments highlights.
So we move to, thank you, Václav, we move to page 23 when we discuss gas transmission, effectively Ustream. Ustream now is one of only two operating routes for Russian gas into Europe. The first is TurkStream and the second is ourselves. Ustream remains able to reverse flow into a number of markets. So Ustream has a unique positioning for the supply of gas to Central and Southern Europe. It can reverse flow into Poland, into Czech Republic, into Hungary, into Ukraine, and into Austria. This gives us a unique position for the transmission of gas, whatever the source of gas should be. The business continues to be owned partly with the Slovak government, and indeed we can confirm that the Slovak-Polish interconnector has been completed in November of last year, which will give us over time access to the growing LNG market, particularly of Poland and the Baltics. The regulatory environment remains stable since 2022. Tariffs are now set by the regulator for a five-year period, and this is now in fully aligned with cost-based approach, but it also has a secondary adjustment based on benchmarking. Transmission fees are fixed for the start of each contract and unaffected by future regulatory changes. Our contracts continue to be 100% ship or pay. Our main capacity contract, which accounts for 50% of our capacity, is still fixed until 2028. With regards to gas through Ukraine, this is an agreement for 40 BCM which goes between the Russian shipper and Ukraine until 2024, with an agreement or an option to extend for a further 10 years. The business continues to generate significant high cash, 90% excluding working capital and tax. Perhaps 24, page 24 is more interesting. And here we look, we've added a different map to clearly give you a view in the top right-hand corner of Ustream's positioning in Europe. Indeed, you can see there that it can reverse flow in and out of Ukraine and is probably the largest pipeline able to supply Ukraine. The new interconnector with Poland is now operational. Our ability to access the Czech Republic and Northern Europe via Lanzhot remains. Our main route of gas via Baumgarten in Austria continues. And indeed, we also have access to Croatia via our Hungary interconnector point. The gas transmission infrastructure in the European Union, particularly for Italy and Austria and Central Europe, Ustream continues to play a central role. And we emphasize this will be irrespective of the gas source and flow patterns that may develop in the future. We can confirm that the large majority of the 26 BCM of gas in 2022 was transmitted under long-term ship or pay contracts. We can confirm that 70% of imported gas from the EU to Ukraine is transmitted via our Ustream network. And perhaps this is the point you particularly want to listen to after our half-year announcement. Ustream receives gas in kind from shippers as a pre-agreed fixed percentage of actual commercial gas flows for its operational and technical needs. Historically, in order to hedge the gas sales price, Ustream has been using financial derivatives. As of 31st of March 2023, the hedged position of Ustream in relation to gas in kind was relatively small and considered proportionately manageable for both the rest of 2023 and 2024. And we'll probably go into more details on that in the Q&A session. And that is gas transmission, a business that is evolving, a business that remains central to Europe, but a business that will evolve over the years into something probably a little different to the Ustream we've known in the past. But then we move to page 25 and to gas storage. And clearly the equal and opposite applies here. The role of gas storage in Europe will now become more vital and more regulated. And indeed, that's what we saw in 2022. We remain the market leader, 24% market share in Slovak Republic, Czech Republic and Austria. We also have 8% of the market share in Germany. Our storage is particularly strategically located, so that we're able to access multiple hubs and multiple markets from our storage facilities. Our contracts are particularly store or pay. We have a blended storage price in 2022, which amounts to €6 per megawatt hour. We have very moderate investment needs, and therefore the business has superb cash conversion. Currently, there is no price regulation in the market, and we wait to see whether that will develop further. But as Europe now needs strategic gas and will continue to need strategic gas storage for many years to come, I think it's plain to see that the gas storage division of EPIF will be a continuously higher contributory division than we've seen in the past. And with that, we move to page 26, which is the gas and power distribution, and I hand back over to Vasek.
Absolutely. Gas and power distribution segment comprises primarily SPPD and SSD, which are monopoly providers of natural gas and electricity distribution services in Slovakia that operate under a transparent and stable regulatory regime in Slovakia. despite all the market challenges and also drop in volumes of distributed commodity, the segment remained relatively stable, resilient, and in fact, it managed to even increase its year-on-year performance. So let's see on the individual contributors to that performance. As PPD, the gas distributor, distributed 48 terawatt hours of gas in 2022, which is meaningfully less than what is Slovak long-term average, which is driven firstly by weather impacts and secondly by the demand destruction that Gary already described, and we saw that at our industrial customers, also with our with households. Nevertheless, thanks to the fact that a major portion of our average distribution tariff is fixed, the finance result is only 2% below 2021 performance. As for the SSD, it distributed 6.3 terawatt hours, which is 2% less than in 2021. And again, thanks to fixed portion of the distribution tariff, the financial performance is broadly in line with 2021. And what is the reason for the actual overperformance of the segment is a supply business, which normally is rather a minor contributor to EBITDA. Nevertheless, in 2022, we managed to be in long position for a portion of a year, and we benefited from that fact. Besides financial performance, let me also comment on the regulation, which is a critical topic for both DSOs. And I'm glad that I can tell you that the regulator confirmed continuation of a stable and transparent regulatory framework also for the regulatory period 2023 till 2027. From the details disclosed on the page 28, you can see that both DSOs should remain stable and resilient part of EPIF Group. In particular, what I am happy to see newly embedded in the regulation is the volume protection for the gas distributor, which is beneficial considering that we have already experienced a drop in volumes in 2022. So that's gas and power distribution segment, and on slide 29, we have a slide dedicated to heat infra business that has a really strong or rather exceptional year with performance at the level of almost 200 million, which is plus 89% year on year, which was favorably affected by high power spreads in 2022, while a level of power production remained at a stable level of 2.5 terawatt hours, which is comparable to 2021. And let me flag that 2021 performance in financial terms and also in terms of volume of power generation was somewhat above what we would mark as standard performance. So in 2022, we benefited from high power prices. In terms of heat distribution, we distributed lower volume by approximately 10% compared to 21, which partially offset the positive effect from power generation. Let me also comment on our CapEx plans relating to our decarbonization of the segment, which is based on our first firm commitment to reduce carbon emissions by 60% and phase out lignite both by 2030. So our existing lignite assets will be replaced by a balanced mix of highly efficient gas-fired plants combined with biomass units and waste-to-energy technology. The technologies that we will be using will be also able to combust low carbon synthetic gases and hydrogen, should the market for those gases be available. Also, let me confirm that we are in advanced preparatory stage of those projects, meaning that the tendering process for technologies is already ongoing, as well as we have submitted several requests for subsidies relating to this conversion. And with that note, let me hand over to Gary for a wrap-up that is presented on slide number 31.
Super, thanks Václav. In fact, this time last year we completed the presentation in 52 minutes and we're currently at 47, so I think we're doing quite well. So I'd like to summarize on page 31 for everyone the following three things. Firstly, strong financials. We described the year as strong, and indeed we believe our performance in 22 was exactly that. And this was despite escalated geopolitical frictions and market disruptions in the energy markets, the likes of which I'm not sure we'll ever see again. We finished the year as a result of our lockdown with a liquidity position of 1.548 billion euros of cash and cash equivalents, and in addition, 395 million euros of undrawn credit facilities across the group. We managed to reduce our proportionate net leverage ratio to 2.9 times, as at 31st December 2022, and we set an interim target whilst these uncertainties continue of 3.5 times. Our financing structure has been optimised, extension of weighted average tenor to 4.3 years, and we maintain our and our shareholders' commitment to maintaining a financial profile that remains consistent with investment grade. Our asset base, they remain the same. We have leading positions in respective areas of operation and or region. Our portfolio is diversified and has strong natural hedges amongst our diversified portfolio. In 2022, it's clear that the role of gas transmission segment has become less significant to the group. But it's also clear that the role of gas storage has proved to have an increased importance to the group. And therefore, the natural hedge that we've always said existed, I think, has been proven. Our major subsidiaries continue to be underpinned and co-owned by the Slovak state. And finally, the outlook, and I'll read this to you, and I think hopefully this will help you understand. During 2022, the EPIF group showed that we can generate an EBITDA premium from periods of elevated commodity prices. However, the underlying EPIF group continues to perform as a well-diversified infrastructure group, and at our core remains our four business segments that are underpinned by regulated and long-term contracted assets. Vasek has told you our ambition to increase our average duration of our debt. We also continue to confirm that there will be no dividend distributions from EPIF throughout 2023. And finally, EPIF and its subsidiaries will keep monitoring the current situation on the market on an ongoing basis, including the current geopolitical risks that are beyond our control. And finally, if I may, there's a very famous song by Jerry and the Pacemakers, which goes as follows. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. And that ends our presentation of 2022 results, and we're happy to move to questions and answers. Brica.